The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Second Canto, Chapter Number 4, Text Number 22, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasa Hikari, recorded on June 23rd, 2016, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Prachodita
yena
pura
sarasvati
vitanvata
ajasya
satim
smritim
ready
sva
lakshana
pradurabhut
kila
asyata
Sa
me
Rishinam
Rishabha
Prasidatam
Prachodita
yena parasarasvati
Prachodita yena parasarasvati
Vatan vata jasya satim smritim hridi Salakshana pradarabhut kilasyata
Salakshana pradarabhut kilasyata
Same vishinam rishabha prasidatam
Same vishinam rishabha prasidatam
Prachodita yena parasarasvati
Prachodita yena parasarasvati
Vatan vata jasya satim smritim hridi
Vatan vata jasya satim
Salakshana pradarabhut kalashyata
Salakshana pradarabhut kalashyata
Same vishinam rishabha prasidatam
Same vishinam rishabha prasidatam
Prachodita yena parasarasvati
Prachodita yena parasarasvati
Vitan vata jasya satim smritim hridi
Vitan vata jasya satim smritim
Svalakshana pradarabhut kilasyata
Svalakshana pradarabhut kilasyata
Same vishinam rishabha prasidatam
Same vishinam rishabha prasidatam
Prachodita Inspired
Yena
By whom? Pada
In the beginning of creation
Sarasvati,
Sarasvati,
the goddess of learning, Vitanvata,
amplified,
Ajasya,
of
Brahma, the first created living being,
Satim
Smritim,
potent memory,
Hridi,
in the heart,
Sva,
in his own,
Lakshana,
Aiming at
Pradurabhut
was generated
Kila
as if
Asyata
from the mouth
Sa
he
may
unto me
Rishinam
of the teachers
Rishabha
the chief
Prasidatam
be pleased.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. May the Lord, who in the beginning of the creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and of his own self, and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me. Purport. As we have already discussed herein before, the Lord is the super soul of all living beings, from Brahma to the insignificant ant, endows all with the required knowledge potent in every living being. A living being is sufficiently potent to possess knowledge from the Lord in the proportion of 50/64 or 78% of the full knowledge acquirable. Since the living being is constitutionally part and parcel of the Lord, he is unable to assimilate all the knowledge the Lord possesses himself. In the conditioned state, the living being is subject to forget everything about a change after a change of body known as death. And this potent knowledge is again inspired by the Lord from within the heart of every living being, and it is known as the awakening of knowledge, for it is comparable to awakening from sleep or unconsciousness. This awakening of knowledge is under the full control of the Lord, and therefore we find in the practical world different grades of knowledge in different persons. This awakening of knowledge is neither an automatic nor a material interaction. The supply source is the Lord himself, Dhyam Pati. For even Brahma is also subject to this regulation of the Supreme Creator. In the beginning of the creation, Brahma is born first without any father and mother, because before Brahma there were no other living beings. Brahma is born from the lotus which grows from the abdomen of Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and therefore he is known as Ajja. This Brahma or Ajja is also a living being, part and parcel of the Lord, but being the most pious devotee of the Lord, Brahma is inspired by the Lord to create subsequent to the main creation of the Lord through the agency of material nature. Therefore, neither the material nature nor Brahma is independent of the Lord. The material scientist can merely observe the reactions of the material nature without understanding the direction behind such activities, as a child can see the action of electricity without any knowledge of the powerhouse engineer. This imperfect knowledge of the material scientist is due to a poor fund of knowledge. The Vedic knowledge was therefore first impregnated within Brahma, and it appears that Brahma distributed the Vedic knowledge. Brahma is undoubtedly the speaker of the Vedic knowledge, but actually he was inspired by the Lord to receive such knowledge as it directly descends from the Lord. The Vedas are therefore called aparusheya, are not imparted by any created being. Before the creation, the Lord was there, Narayana Parovyaktat, and therefore the words spoken by the Lord are vibrations of transcendental sound. There is a gulf of difference between the two qualities of sound, namely prakrita and aprakrita. The physicist can deal only with the prakrita sound, or sound vibrated in the material sky, and therefore we must know that the Vedic sounds recorded in symbolic instructions cannot be understood by anyone in the universe unless and until one is inspired by the vibration of supernatural aprakrita sound, which descends in the chain of the cyclic succession from the Lord to Brahma, from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyasa, and so on. No mundane scholar can translate or reveal the true import of the Vedic mantras, hymns. They cannot be understood unless one is inspired or initiated by the authorized spiritual master. The original spiritual master is the Lord himself, and the succession comes down through the sources of parampara, as clearly stated in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So, unless one receives the transcendental knowledge from the authorized parampara, one should be considered useless, vipala mata, even though one may be greatly qualified in the mundane advancements of arts or science. Sukadeva Goswami is praying from the Lord by dint of being inspired from within by the Lord, so that he could rightly explain the facts and figures of creation as inquired by Maharaj Parikshit. A spiritual master is not a theoretical speculator like the mundane scholar, but a shrotiyam brahmanishtam. So, this knowledge cannot be understood from any mundane scholar. Having a PhD does not make one qualified to speak on Vedic wisdom. The qualification for speaking on Vedic wisdom is to be a humble representative of one's spiritual master. Whatever one has heard from one's spiritual master, one repeats it. Of course, there is the presentation according to the audience. It's not that the preacher is simply talking to a wall. He understands there are people there who have certain mentalities, who come from a certain place, a background, who are familiar with certain concepts or not familiar with certain concepts. So the message is always tailor-fitted to the audience. Desha Kalapatra, time, place, and circumstance. But the essence always remains the same. If the essence is changed, then the whole thing is spoiled, it's useless. Shama evahi kevalam. But when the essence, the pure essence of the teaching is maintained, those words have great spiritual potency, and when taken into the heart, they actually cut through the hard knot called hridaya granthi, which is composed of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Those words coming from the lotus mouth of the Vaishnavas liberate us from all our entanglements within karma chakra and bring back our original pure consciousness called Krishna consciousness. For this purpose, we have a movement called the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Because at the present moment, the entire world is lost in bodily consciousness. They're suffering like anything without Krishna consciousness. So our program is twofold. We sing every morning Nisinga prayers. Bhagir Nasinga Hridaye Nasinga. Nisinga within, Nisinga without. Hridaye Nasinga, Nisinga within. Bhagir Nisinga, Nisinga without. So we want to completely Krishnaize our Nisingaize our insides, our psyches, our consciousnesses. Completely purify them. And then we want to take that order that we have received from the spiritual master to spread Krishna consciousness and execute it to the best of our ability to awaken the sleeping souls of this world to their actual identities. You see, Krishna consciousness is not something artificial imposed upon one. Krishna consciousness is the beautiful, wonderful process of removing that which has been imposed upon you by the modes of nature and by the manifestation of the modes of nature, the modern-day material society. You see, we've been brainwashed to think that we're the body. Just consider the first words, some of the first words you hear when you're born. Oh, look, it's a boy, it's a girl. You see? Immediately conditioned to think, I'm this body, as soon as you come out of the womb. And then as you grow up, be a good little boy, be a good little girl, you see. We're conditioned to think, I'm this body. So this is why it's very important to have a bona fide spiritual master. That's why it's very important to be in the association of Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnavas don't reinforce this false conception. Vaishnavas bring you back to understanding who you really are. Jivara Savarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. You are an eternal spiritual being who happens to be the eternal servant of God. What are you doing here in this world? This is not your place. You see? This is a strange place, this material world. This is not your natural habitat. It's like they take an animal from the wild, they put him in the zoo. You see? That's not his natural habitat. He belongs out in the wild. So we belong back in our natural heaven. This material world is like a zoo. We're in cages in this zoo. The cage is the material body, you see. We're in cages in this zoo. The material world is a zoo and our body is our cage. So one should not be attached to the cage. There's one story given this connection. There was a river flowing, a big river flowing through the land, and on one side there was a horrible desert. People were dying of thirst. It was a horrible place. And across the river was a beautiful paradise, you see. Beautiful, wonderful feasting and flowers and singing and dancing. A beautiful, wonderful place. full of wonderful foodstuffs and wonderful breezes, and everything is simply wonderful. So some person, he's on the verge of death, he's crawled all the way to the edge of the river, and he's looking across the river, and they're saying, come on, swim across, swim across, swim across. But it just so happens he's very attached to some rock. It's his only possession. He has a big rock. He can't let go of it, you see. He's attached to his rock. So he can't swim across the river with a rock, so he just stays there and dies in the desert, you see. So we have this rock of, I am this body. I am the Lord of all I survey. This false ego is our rock. And as long as you remain attached to that false ego, you're going to stay here. You can't go back to Godhead, you see. So one has to give up the false ego. One has to come back to that original natural position, and that I'm simply the servant of Krishna. That's called real ego. You see, there's false ego, I'm this body, I'm the Lord of all I survey. And there's real ego, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. We don't kill ego. The impersonalists say, kill ego, kill identity. Actually, you don't exist. That you think that you exist as something separate from the impersonal oneness is simply an illusion. And the Buddhists say something similar also. Instead of calling it the impersonal oneness, they just call it the nothingness. You see? Whether you say the impersonal oneness or the nothingness, there's not much difference. Both of them kill the idea of your personal identity. So we don't want some impersonal oneness or nothingness. That doesn't satisfy the soul. We want to be back in a place of beauty, of harmony, of loving relationships. This impersonalism and voidism, it denies love itself. Would you want to live in a world without love? Impersonalism and voidism kills love. Love cannot exist. Love means two. If there's only one, there's no love. There's no loving relationship. So this Vaishnava philosophy is very, very important. It gives one the facility, it gives one the instructions, it gives one the information, it gives one the education, it gives one the knowledge and the potency to actually enter into perfect loving relationship with that amazing person, that all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-wealthy, knowledgeable, and famous person who's the source of all existence, by whose energy everything is going on at every minute. You can actually have a relationship with Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. You can have an intimate, loving relationship with that Supreme Person. See? That is the process known as Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti. It takes you to that position. So try to understand the importance of hearing this knowledge from an authorized speaker. If somebody is not authorized, the potency will not be there. Krishna will not be present in those sound vibrations. But when the speaker is potent, when he's authorized, when he's simply purely presenting what he's heard in the parampara system, Krishna is fully present in his words. Krishna is fully manifest in the words of such a person. So when we present Krishna consciousness, we have to be very careful we don't concoct something new. We add our own idea. Whatever is stated there, we accept. How do we know in detail? What is the instructions of Krishna? Prabhupada has made it so clear in his purports. We simply have to read the books, read Prabhupada's purports, always be studying these wonderful teachings given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And then we will have a very clear understanding of who I am, who everyone else is, and who is the Supreme Self, and how we can all be brought back into a perfect, loving, harmonious relationship with that Supreme Self. So now I can ask if there's any questions. In spiritual life, it is so easy to fall down, but very difficult to rise up again. Yes, that's a fact. It's easy to fall and so hard to climb. But if one takes shelter of Guru and Krishna, then it's easy to climb and difficult to fall. But one who's trying to do it on his own strength, make spiritual advancement, it's easy to fall and very hard to climb. But for one who takes shelter of Guru and Krishna, that now the order of my spiritual master is my life and soul. For such a person, it's easy to advance and difficult to fall down. So the spiritual master tells me, you must chant 16 rounds every day without fail. That makes you strong. If you embrace his order, accepting his order as your life and soul, you must strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, and you must every day chant at least 16 rounds. If you say, that's more important than anything else in my life, whether I have money, I don't have money, whether I have a family, whether I don't have a family, whether I have something to eat, I don't have something to eat, this is the most important thing in my life, that every day I must chant at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra and Japa Mala, and I must strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. As soon as you take that as the most important thing you have to do, then for you it's very difficult to fall down and very, very easy to advance in Krishna consciousness. So it's your choice, which category do you want to be in? If you become the humble servant of your spiritual master, you have no problems. The humane puffed up, well, Gurudev sometimes needs to be corrected, isn't it? Good luck. That's all I can say. Spiritual master is instructing you according to what he has been instructed by his spiritual master. It's a parampara system. The instructions are perfect. We simply have to learn how to follow them, not to find fault with the instructions, which is what we sometimes try to do. Will you please elaborate on the amount of knowledge a living being can acquire? He can acquire enough knowledge to know how to get out of this nasty place. In the Hindu religion, many people worship Lord Brahma as Guru due to being the vision of Creator. Is that correct? Lord Brahma is our Guru because he is the head of the Brahma Sampradaya. He's the original spiritual master within this universe. Because he was given this knowledge, Tenne Brahma Hridayadi Kaviye. He was given this knowledge from within the heart. So Brahma is the original spiritual master in this universe. How could we balance our spiritual life and family life when all family members are not on the same platform? Well, you just have to be on the proper spiritual platform, and then Krishna will give you all intelligence. How to engage your family members. The point is, you have to give them every facility possible to connect with Krishna. Of course, if they're not interested to hear, they're being stubbornly not want to even hear about Krishna, they don't even want to come to the temple, then what you can do? You just got to put your energy somewhere else for preaching. As long as you have your determination to be Krishna conscious and under all circumstances, purely Krishna conscious, Krishna will give you the intelligence how to deal with each particular family member according to their particular mentality. Is there any difference between an initiated devotee and a devotee who follows all the principles and also considers all the Maharajas as spiritual guru and is not initiated? Is a humongous difference. You know, all the Guru Maharajas are wonderful. I accept all of them as my siksha gurus, but I'm not taking diksha. Jack of all trades and master of none. The order is, Prabhupada says, unless you're initiated, it says in the Nectar Devotion, unless you're initiated, you can't go back to Godhead. Well, that means he has to deny Prabhupada's instruction to hold on to that philosophy. He has to say, well, Prabhupada is actually wrong, and I know better than Prabhupada. Good luck for such a person. Good luck, because he's going to need it in the cycle of birth and death. Oh, all the gurus are wonderful. No, you have to choose a spiritual master. And which one will you choose? Huh? Whose question? I don't. There's not. There's anonymous. Oh, okay. Very good. So you have to have a. You have to choose a spiritual master. You got to get serious about it. You see? And who should you choose? The one who comes most heavy down on your anartas. That's the one you need. The one who comes most heavy on your anartas, because the anartas are what stand in the way of our spiritual progress. We want a spiritual master who smashes our anartas. That's what we need. Not the ones that flatters us. Oh, you're a very nice disciple. All glories to you. You see. No, you're a rascal. You see. That's the one who tells you, convinces you you're a rascal number one. That's the one where, that's where you should take initiation. If you haven't taken it yet. You see. Who convinces you you're a rascal number one? That's where you need to take initiation. Because he can, that spiritual master can cut away the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy by his sharp, piercing words. Some questions coming in here from the internet. Okay? Leela Manjari, is she the first? Anandavarna. Okay, I'll go up, I'll scroll up. What is the difference between following as it is and at the same time being practical? Actually, there is no difference. To think there's a difference, that's a material conception. Well, it's not really practical to, you know, strictly follow Krishna consciousness. You have to mix it with material consciousness. Actually, to keep it to... Just like someone gives you a recipe how to make banana bread, you see. And I can think, well, I don't think it's really practical to make it like this because, you know, I'd have to go to the grocery store and buy some bananas, you know. It's not very practical. I think I'll make banana bread without any bananas. You can't make banana bread without bananas. It's not practical to get a banana. I mean, it takes me 10 minutes... to walk across the street to the grocery store. It's not practical. It's raining a little bit and I'm too lazy to open my umbrella. So it's not really practical to go get some bananas across the street at the grocery store. I'm just going to make the banana bread without the bananas. But you don't have banana bread then. You see? So if you want to actually get the result of this process of Krishna consciousness, the most practical thing to do is strictly follow it as it is. If you mess with it, if you tamper with it, and it's no longer as it is, that's the most impractical thing you could ever do, because that will keep you tightly bound up in the cycle of birth and death. Sridhar, can I know today's sloka? 2-4-22. Okay? Leela Manjari. In last to last lecture, Your Grace mentioned that it's we who are running after Maya, not that Maya is taking us in her grip. So that conditioning is there from a long time, due to which we are still foolishly think. Maybe there is some enjoyment in the material world. At the same time, being a practitioner of Krishna consciousness, we come to know about the temporary nature of the material world. How do we push our intelligence to always turn towards Krishna consciousness and not Maya consciousness? The key is hearing, 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 hearing. Reading, reading, which is silent hearing. You have to hear, read, and discuss this philosophy as much as possible. Just like if you're riding on the bus to work or something, you can hear a lecture. Or you can have some earbuds and you can hear Prabhupada speaking or your spiritual master giving a lecture. or you can read. You have to always be studying, 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 because this is called Shastra Chakshus, one who can see everything through the eyes of the scripture. Just like you have, in your case, the majority, you wear glasses. You see, if you take off your glasses, everything's out of focus. So we also have the glasses of spiritual, scriptural vision, you see? Seeing through the eyes of the scripture. If you take off this scriptural vision and start looking through your material eyes, everything will be out of focus. Therefore, you have to always hear, 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 read, 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 discuss, discuss, discuss these teachings so that your mind is always in the groove of seeing everything through the eyes of the scripture. Because when you see through the eyes of scripture, then you see everything properly. Okay, commercial milk is usually contaminated with the cow's blood. Is it still okay for consuming that milk? Is this literal or figurative? Of course, figuratively, I can understand. So the question is, I discussed this one time with our Giriraj Maharaj. In Los Angeles, we had a nice conversation one morning in Los Angeles. There's no doubt that taking milk from these commercial dairies is not the ideal thing, because they're killing the cow. It's a horrible thing they're doing. What is our goal in our movement? One of our missions is to put a stop to cow slaughter. We want to close the slaughterhouses by spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. Now that takes a lot of intelligence for us to take over the whole world, culturally speaking. Now, we're not talking about military, but we want a cultural revolution on this planet. We want to take over the whole world by education, so all the slaughterhouses are closed. Now that takes a lot of intelligence how to do that. So Prabhupada said we require to drink milk to get the finer brain tissues, to develop our intelligence more and more. So what I explained to Giriraj Maharaj is my vision is you drink, it's like using a thorn to pull out the thorn. Cow slaughter is a thorn. But you can use that milk from the commercial dairy if there's no ahimsa milk available. Of course, if ahimsa milk is available, get the ahimsa milk, even at a higher price, to support the ahimsa movement for cow protection. But if there's no ahimsa milk, then take himsa milk, because Prabhupada says we require, I drink milk every day, Prabhupada says we require milk. Develop finer brain tissues. It's stated again and again by Srila Prabhupada. Even if you have a lactose intolerance and you can't drink the milk, well, you can take lactase, an enzyme, so you can take the lactase enzyme and drink the milk, because that'll help you digest it, the lactase enzyme. So by taking the milk, we develop the finer brain tissues to get the intelligence how we can actually pull off a global spiritual revolution which would stop the cow slaughter. And the cows get the benefit. Those poor cows are being tortured, but their milk is being offered to Krishna. So they get the benefit of them. They get the benefit of their milk being offered to Krishna. Is there the concept of the spiritual master in the spiritual world? Absolutely. Krishna is the supreme spiritual master, and he is there in the spiritual world. Of course, there's different rasas of relationships. One relates with Krishna in different rasas. But that doesn't mean he's not the supreme master. He's still the supreme master. And what about your own spiritual master, the one you take initiation from? Prabhupada says the spiritual master lives forever by his teachings and his disciples live with him. And another point is this, when you go back to Godhead, you'll remember who your guru is. You remember, Prabhupada says, we remember our spiritual activities when we go back to Godhead. You remember how you joined ISKCON. You remember how we had the 50th anniversary. You remember how you got initiated. You remember all the Ratha Yatra there in the water that time last December, was it? You'll have all these wonderful memories of your spiritual life you had that brought you to the spiritual world. You'll be able to look back and say, oh, how fortunate I was there in Phoenix. I had so many wonderful darshans of Shri Radha Golokananda, and now I'm directly perceiving the original forms of Radha Golokananda. Actually, I was originally perceiving them when I took darshan there in ISKCON Phoenix, but I didn't fully realize it. But now I realize that's the same Krishna that I'm seeing now. I was seeing that exact same Krishna every day when I came for darshan at the temple. So all of these things will be remembered. You remember your guru, you remember your god brothers. Prabhupada said, we will have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. That's meaning you recognize which gopa and which gopis are ISKCON gopis and gopas. Oh, there's one of the, there's an ISKCONer. There's an ISKCON peacock. There's an ISKCON cuckoo bird. There's an ISKCON flower. You see, you can be able to recognize all the ISKCON devotees. And you recognize Prabhupada also. Oh, there's Prabhupada in his original relationship with Krishna. Jai Prabhupada. I finally get to meet you, you see. You get to meet Prabhupada, and you recognize him. This is Prabhupada. And here's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his particular rasa. You'll be able to recognize all these great personalities. There are some... See, we got our session went offline. Continue where we left off in the lecture. We paused while you were gone, so you wouldn't miss anything. Okay, there are some very deeply embedded disciples that we may be... Oh, desires, okay. There are some very deeply embedded desires that we may be carrying from many births. Unless those desires are satisfied, is it possible to carry on with one's spiritual life? Well, those desires are what's keeping you here. The material world. You have to transcend them. You should have one desire and one desire only, and that is to please Krishna. Okay, now the last question. To learn how to do some service in the temple may take us some time to master. But when it comes to cultivating loving relationships with devotees, we find it difficult to keep the loving exchange to go smooth. Please guide us how to maintain loving relationships with devotees. Tolerance. Because sometimes we are, let's face the facts, sometimes we're rough with each other because we're still Kali Yugites. We still polluted with lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So because of that, sometimes we mistreat one another, you see. Sometimes we're offensive to Vaishnavas. It happens, you see. So we have to be very humble and realize, you know, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I say the wrong thing sometimes. I act in the wrong way sometimes. I have the wrong attitude sometimes. We have to admit our fallacious nature. Not be proud, yeah, I'm a great Mahabhagava, don't you recognize me, you see. No, we have to be very humble. You see, Prabhupada even, he said, I'm not perfect. Even Prabhupada said, I'm not perfect. My perfection is I'm following the perfect, you see. So you have to realize you're not perfect. But you become perfect by following the perfect, you see, following the spiritual master in Krishna. The spiritual master also thinks I'm not perfect, you see. So in this way, by always being humble and not thinking you're perfect and just trying to follow the perfect orders coming down in the Guru Parampara system, that's how it all works out. So we'll go ahead and stop here. And wait, there's one question. Can we take one? One came in. This is the last thing. Make it quick. No more questions. Is it possible the spiritual master can give instructions to a devotee who's not able and not ready to perform it? The spiritual master is very considerate, and he gives one the instructions that he can follow. He's very considerate of the disciple. But one thinks, well, the spiritual master doesn't know how to instruct me. No. You don't know how to follow, that's the problem. Spiritual master is very considerate, very compassionate, and very conscious of the mentality of the person he's speaking to. So he gives them just that perfect instruction to help them become liberated. If they're not willing to follow that instruction, it means they don't want to become liberated. They're attached to conditioned life and they want to stay conditioned. So instead of thinking the spiritual master is not giving, doesn't know how to instruct me, you should think, I don't know. The problem is I don't know how to follow. He's given me a perfect order, but I'm such a dull head, I'm such a dummy, I don't know how to follow it. So in that way, by being humble and understanding the spiritual master knows better than me, then I should, that's how I can get out of Maya and become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi.